It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Political opponents of the president inside the government are targeting White House nominees. Writing in the Wall Street Journal, Sean Bigley says this. Security clearances are being weaponized against the White House by hostile career bureaucrats, thwarting the president's agenda by holding up or blocking appointees. That's the case he makes. Sean Bigley is the man who wrote it. Security clearance defense attorney. Sir, good morning and thank you for your time today. Your client is
morning,
Adam
Bill.
Lovinger. Tell me about his case and his story.
Right, Bill. Mr. Lovinger is a senior Defense Department official. He's highly regarded, and he's been there for about 12 years. About a year ago, he began exposing some corruption and some cronyism with respect to contractors in a very little-known office of net assessment inside the Pentagon. It's essentially the Pentagon's internal think tank. And they are supposed to be doing, as their namesake suggests, net assessments. In fact, none have been done in over a decade. And instead, what's been happening is that this office has become a slush fund for politically connected contractors who are preparing studies on things like whether or not Americans are a, quote, warlike people, and whether or not we have enough coastal elites, quote, unquote, in the national security bureaucracy.
All right, that was the voice of Sean Bigley, who is the attorney of my next guest. But before I introduce him, let me just say that there have been a growing number of people who are American patriots, very capable, very qualified, highly professional persons who, since the nomination of President Donald Trump, have been targeted for destruction, nothing less than that, professional destruction, smears, and more often than not, very successfully. Some of them have been guests on this show. But I think it helps to personalize these stories so that you understand the dangers of the deep state. We often talk about the deep state, but today we're going to talk about what it actually is doing. I want to give you an idea of the kind of person my next guest is. He is an adjunct professor at Georgetown University. He's a graduate of Columbia and also Georgetown University in the study of law. He has been with the Office of the Secretary of Defense since 2004. He worked in the operational reconstruction in Iraq and Afghanistan. I could go on and on with his qualifications. He's particularly expert at things in the Persian Gulf, the sub-Saharan Africa. He served faithfully this country until he ran up against the forces at the Department of Defense and the forces within the deep state that really have undermined and tried to destroy his reputation and his job. His name is Adam Lovinger. His name won't be necessarily familiar to you unless you watched that interaction with Bill Hemmer on Fox a few days ago. But the Wall Street Journal has now published an article about Adam's story. And so I've asked Adam to join us this morning to tell it himself. Adam Lovinger, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much, Sandy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, so let's start this story when President Trump was nominated and he chose Lieutenant General Michael Flynn to be his national security advisor. We were all cheering, but you had a relationship or a friendship, at least a professional working relationship with General Flynn. Can you tell us about what the extent of that before this started was?
Yes, Cindy, I'm happy to do so. For, I would say, about a decade before the Trump election, General Flynn and I had been colleagues. We had not worked directly together. However, General Flynn, as his marvelous book with Michael Ledeen shows so clearly, The Field of Fight, published 2016. General Flynn is a great scholar and has tremendous interest in military strategy, military history. And this is where we really bonded. And General Flynn had a high regard for my boss and mentor, Andy Marshall, who served with great distinction as the director of Net Assessment for 4 decades. And we've spoken for years about Net Assessment and strategy and really how to do it better. Specifically, what are the barriers to crafting and executing successful strategy within the Department of Defense. We were specifically aware of how the bureaucracy often gets in the way of really allowing strategies to be executed and implemented. So this was something that we were both concerned about, and with the election of the president, we were both excited to really be able to do strategy better.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because that's actually what I wanted to ask you. General Flynn picks you to be the senior director of the National Security Council, White House National Security Council. You had been at the Pentagon all these years. You guys had worked together, and you said you were excited. I kind of thought you might be. And if I were to kind of ask you to define that, can you put that in layman's terms? Like, what did you guys hope that you were going to accomplish?
Well, as I was saying, there really is still a historical opportunity that America faces. And what I mean by that is that for decades, I would say really for about the past 50 years, there has been a somewhat of a consensus on what are the established bounds of acceptable inquiry into American national security strategy. There are certain things that are accepted that we will address, and there's other things we won't. The problem, Sandy, is that that has been too narrowly constricted. And when we see America's relative power decline compared to our competitors, we have to reevaluate, is our aperture that we're focused on, is this a appropriate aperture, or should we expand it? Are there certain things that we are missing that we must address strategically in order to compete and achieve American preeminence in the world, make the world a safer place? And what the presidency of Donald Trump represented to me and to General Flynn, I know, and which was quite exciting for us, is that the president wanted to revisit some established, really calcified, barriers to the national discussion on what strategy should be. And so this was a strategist's dream to let us revisit some of the core assumptions of our national security strategy. And the president was enthusiastic about that, as was Flynn, as was I. So
yes, and
this really is a historical time, and still that aperture exists.
Yeah,
but we just need to do something about it.
Okay, and we will. Well, we will. We're going to get to that. Is what I meant to say. I hope we will do the bigger, the broader thing. You know, so Adam, you guys come in, and I also know that one of the things that bonded you guys was that you, and this is just one area of conflict. You had agreement on what who the enemy was in terms of the Middle Eastern world and the Islamist world, the radical Islamists. You guys had a sort of an understanding, and that was a very radical view in the Obama administration. General Flynn actually was the only general to counter Barack Obama's narrative that we were winning, that the Al-Qaeda was on the run. And that got him in the crosshairs. That was one of the many things of the deep state. He also, as I understand it, took on the deep state when he was the director of national intelligence. So at the end of the Obama administration, we actually had a mess internationally. That's my view of it. We had a lot of chaos in the world, and we're getting most things wrong, not only the Iran deal, but also in Middle East relationships, relations with our friendly Arab countries, and then terrible relations, and really good relations with what should have been our enemies. The world was turned upside down. There was a lot to do. So, but then a few days into General Flynn's nomination and your expectation, General Flynn is caught up in this trap. You know, he is his phone calls, private phone calls to the Russian ambassador were made public. And he was accused of lying about various things. And then he ended up admitting that he lied about one of those things. And then he was asked to resign. So everything changed. So, Adam, what happened to you? Did you ever get into the National Security Council, taking us back in time? Did you ever get to sit at that table, or were you stopped?
Yes. So I served as senior director on the National Security Council for 4 months, so almost double the length of General Flynn. So I did get there, but genuinely, Sandy, you know, as soon as my my boss at the Pentagon, who had been appointed during the Obama administration to the position, as soon as he was aware that I was being brought to the White House, the Trump White House, the attacks were relentless. There were two internal investigations that this my boss launched. He had subordinates of his, you know, conduct these investigations. These investigations against me were not designed to be fair or independent. In fact, the military officers whom he employed, and again, these are his subordinates, to target me, during the course of the investigation, Sandy, he nominated them for the Defense Superior Service Medal. So you can imagine military officers who are subordinate conducting an investigation against their boss's target. They have this nomination of a very prestigious medal, sort of, you know, hanging in the balance, truly incentivizing them to A, prejudge me, and then B, to you know, cook the investigation. And just as an example of how cooked these investigations are, Sandy, and ultimately the importance of these investigations that my Obama appointed boss, the actual results of these led to A, the suspension of my security clearance, and then the immediate cancel of my detail from the Defense Department to the Pentagon. But what is this so extraordinary, Sandy, is that one of the allegations that emerged from the investigation is that I did not cooperate with these investigations, whereas I have emails from the investigators thanking me for cooperating. So really, you know, truth and facts don't matter here, Sandy. It is, you know, lies and completely rigged investigations that are employed by corrupt civil servants to achieve their partisan political ends. You know, these are what is reigning supreme. And as of now, you know, we have my lawyer and I. We have alerted the highest levels of the Defense Department about this, and there seems to be just a proverbial shrug of the shoulders. It seems that, you know, many, many people are in on this, what I believe is illegal targeting of people, you know, in the bureaucracy who want to support the president's agenda.
Yeah, Adam, we're going to have to take a break, but let me just say that Adam Lovinger received the highest rating for his service in the second half of 2015, the first half of 2016, highest possible rating. And then come the charges that he had some classified document on a plane that was not marked classified except in the footnotes, and such charges as that. He lost his national security clearance. He lost his ability to serve on the National Security Council after serving faithfully in the Pentagon for all those years, because his superior, whose name was James Baker, by the way, decided to target him. And the story's not over. So stay tuned, because this is just a little bit of Adam's story. And, of course, his story is the story of many others. And that's why I want you to understand how corrupt things got under Barack Obama and still are, unless we can purge this. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
As an attorney who defends security clearance holders, including Mr. Lovinger, I have had a front row seat to behavior that only a year ago I would have dismissed as a conspiracy theory. You talk about the deep state. Take your theory one step further. In your view, where's it coming from and why?
Yeah, this is really symptomatic of a much larger problem government-wide, the Lovinger case, and that is that you have very hostile, entrenched bureaucrats, folks who are not a fan of President Trump, and they have essentially decided that security clearances, if you will, are the low-hanging fruit. And they are using security clearances as a way to keep out Trump appointees, to keep people out of the bureaucracy who will execute the president's agenda. And what I want people to understand is that this is really part and parcel of a much larger issue, and that is these Senate hearings, the nominees who are being held up, the longer those are held up, the more we have acting officials in these capacities, in these bureaucracies, and the more incentivized they are to not want to give up their newfound power. Yeah.
All right, that was, again, the attorney for Adam Lovinger, Sean Bigley, on with Fox News with Bill Himmer. And here's the thing. The security clearances has become a weapon. Withholding. Can you imagine serving faithfully in this government, and it takes, in at least in the days of old, when you got a security clearance, especially the highest level, you went through a tremendous amount of vetting, and it meant a lot, and it was a serious thing for you to hold that. So now imagine that you are actually a true patriot. You have that security clearance, and now the left is in charge of the federal government, and they have the power to cut you off from your security clearance, and therefore you cannot, you're not employable. You can't work. You can't do the things. You can't have access to information. This is something that's been happening repeatedly to people who are love this country, but in this particular case happen to be liking President Donald Trump's policies and wanting to help implement them. Adam Lovinger is my guest. And Adam, of course, is an adjunct professor at Georgetown. He has been with the Pentagon for a number of years. But my understanding, Adam, we should at least mention this. You actually, your salary was cut off as of last week, even, from the Pentagon. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Sandy. There was an article, actually an op-ed by my lawyer in the Wall Street Journal. And the day after that was published, senior bureaucrat by the name of David Tillotson, he cut off my salary. And this is despite having proven with dispositive evidence that the basis for that personnel action was, really knowing falsehoods that were leveled against me by some of those in the bureaucracy, namely James H. Baker, the director of the Office of Net Assessment. So, yes, that's true, Sandy. And there really seems sort of no end of abuse and just so such a lack of accountability that this can happen.
And I want to say, just on a personal level, because I this has real people consequences. We talk about the deep state a lot, Adam, and we know, and you and I will talk in a little bit about how devastating this is to the country. That really fine people are, it's hard for them to serve and put themselves and their families through this. There are real prices that are being paid. And in your case, I think you have three kids?
Yes, I have three kids. I have a mortgage. So this is a tremendous, financial strain on my family. It's very stressful for my wife. We're of course trying to shelter the children from it, and I have, family that can help some, but none of us have money to spare. So it is really, targeted, I believe, to hurt my family. And that's just how nasty this gets.
Yes, and we saw that with Michael Flynn. We've seen that with General Flynn, suing him into poverty and trying to take his children's resources too, because they're a loving family. They've tried to help their dad. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. I can hardly bear it, Adam, honestly. And that's why I wanted to talk to you today, because I want people to understand what we're fighting and why we can't stop. And for people listening, I've been talking a great deal about the midterm elections. What does that have to do with this? It has to do with getting people in Congress who will actually hold these bureaucrats accountable. and will help bubble up so that the executive branch with President Trump will understand fully what he's up against. I think he's learned a hard lesson when H.R. McMaster came in as director of the National Security Council. It was a nightmare. It was a long nightmare. He's finally gone, and there are people in place to do the right things, but it's not there yet. In fact, let me ask you something, Adam. James Baker and the other officials at the Pentagon who have done this to you, they're still all in place, right?
Oh, yes, they are in place. They've caused tremendous damage to the country, and that's going to... That's something I can't talk about right now, Sandy. But genuinely, by misusing contractors to conduct what are called inherently governmental functions, the Office of Net Assessment has done tremendous damage to our country and to our an alliance. And again, this is something that will come out in days, weeks, months ahead. One thing, however, which is coming out in the news already, is the link between the Office of Net Assessment and Stephen Halper, Cambridge
yes.
University professor, and this
who's
is
the alleged FBI? He's the alleged FBI informant. I've been talking about him all week, did talk about the Office of Net Assessment, and you were the first person. I just want to emphasize this before you go into details. You're the first person working at the Pentagon who pointed out that this is a. These are my words, a cesspool of corruption. That's my words, because it's being used as kind of a cash pony for some really bad things. Okay, so what can you say about this?
That's right. I can say one thing, and that is that I'm the only lawyer in the office, and I know that one cannot use civilian contractors to conduct U.S. foreign relations. That is a violation of the law. And I warned my superiors, James Baker and his deputy, Andrew May, that using Steph Halper to conduct foreign relations on behalf of the United States was a problem, and that he's being misused. And, genuinely, my concerns were brushed aside. And so that, however, Sandy, is really, emblematic of really years of trying to get the office to play by the rules, accord its actions with the law, and I'm just sort of seen as the fly in the ointment. I'm the whistleblower, and I'm getting in the way of the leadership having fun with the research dollars, which is really now the primary focus of the office. It used to be. In the old days, the outside research would support the net assessment that the Office of Net Assessment was doing, and that's its primary function. What has happened, Sandy, is that the leadership under James Baker and Andrew May have turned the office into supporting the contractors and supporting favored contractors. And this is something that, not surprisingly, has resulted in no net assessments being conducted by the Office of Net Assessment in over a decade. And it's a scandal, and no one is held to account. I had proposed net assessments on Iran, competing with radical Islam. I was turned away. I managed to do other things, which I'm very proud of, specifically working with the government of India, making the Indian military part of the military cooperation group of the Office of the Secretary of Defense. But the office is derelict in its duty, and it's really time for people to be held accountable. And, for those who are the whistleblowers who point out that, tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds, have been wasted on frivolous studies that we are not continually retaliated against and have our livelihoods taken away.
Yeah, one of those was mentioned in that clip earlier with Bill Hemmer, and your attorney, Sean Bigley, referred to it, but I just want to repeat it. It was a taxpayer-funded study that sought to determine whether Americans are warlike people. So that's the kind of thing the Office of Net Assessment was paying for. But let me read from the Daily Caller, because, again, I know that these are details that you probably can't discuss openly because of your legal battles. But let me just say that the Office of Net Assessment that Adam has just referred to, also gave more than $11 million in contracts to Chelsea Clinton's best friend, who owned a company of dubious origins and dubious purposes. And then now to kind of help you understand, when we talk about Steph Halper, who was the alleged FBI informant, the one that reached out to Carter Page and Alex Papadopoulos and, no, whatever his last name is, I think that's right, and the other Sam Clovis, who were with the Trump campaign. We believe, it looks at this point, like the Office of Net Assessment may have been the vehicle through which this guy, who was working for the FBI and trying to set up Trump campaign staffers, was paid a lot of money. Now, look, that hasn't been verified yet, and I doubt if Adam can verify that under the circumstances, but that's what we think is taking place. Adam, let me talk to you about the removal of security clearances. Now, I sort of gave an overview in my opening, but talk to us about how serious that is and how it is that they could hold up. You've had security clearance for more than a dozen years. How could they possibly then cut you off with that?
Yeah, it really is, Sandy. I've learned a tremendous amount. I was very naive. I was actually focused on strategy and not bureaucratic warfare. But now what I've learned is that, you know, to be a good strategist, to actually, you know, get something done as far as crafting and executing national security strategy, that we really do need people who understand bureaucratic warfare, because strategy is about change. It's not about little things, it's about big things. And what Trump represented to the status quo, and certainly the leadership of the Office of Net Assessment, was a fundamental threat in that the Trump administration, President Trump himself, did, as I spoke before, wants to widen the aperture to look at threats that have been neglected. And when this is done, this moves out of the comfort zone of what I would call the political left in this country. Radical Islam, and I use Islam in this term as a civilizational context, there are parts of Islamic civilization that are radical. That is indisputable. But it is not possible to craft and execute strategy on that part of radical Islam in the current sort of status quo political environment. Trump wanted to change that. He wanted to craft hard-hitting, real strategies to compete with America's adversaries long-term. And this was, it appears, it just, you know, such a radical and toxic idea to the leadership of the Office of Net Assessment that they targeted me, they targeted my security clearance. One thing I've learned, Sandy, is that weaponizing security clearances is the easiest and the most effective way to neutralize one's adversaries in the bureaucracy, because it just takes, you know, a few whiffs of suspicion and that's understandable, of course, that, you know, we don't want those who are not trustworthy to hold them, but there's been an abuse, and the abuse has been extreme. One thing my lawyer is working on with Congress right now is, you know, to hold to account those bureaucrats who weaponize security clearances, who abuse their power, and if it's found that they misuse their power, to actually pay a price. Currently, the law does not have them paying a price for misusing their authority in weaponizing security clearances. So this is a problem that really is something Congress can address and something we should take extremely seriously, especially for conservatives, because conservatives are, you know, the minority in the bureaucracy by far. And so, if this is a dirty trick that can be employed, that minority will shrink even further.
So, Adam, at the Pentagon, where you have been working, I understand they sidelined you so much they just have been having you do just really ridiculous things given your qualifications. Do you have your security clearance yet, or is it still being withheld?
No. I'm increasingly marginalized. What is so extraordinary to me, I studied literature as an undergraduate in college, the novels of Franz Kafka, which are just these, you know, surreal, you know, almost like, you know, Soviet gulag sort of you know, experiences in the bureaucracy, Sandy. Yes, what's happened is that I was, marched out of the White House. I was, put
like you were a criminal.
yes, exactly. I was put in a satellite office of the Defense Department and required by the director of Washington Headquarters Services, by a woman by the name of Barbara Westgate, who, by the way, was taken out of retirement in the waning years of the Obama administration, to be put in this extremely powerful job of a director of Washington Headquarters Services. So that's like the director of the personnel division of the Department of Defense.
Adam, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because I want you to finish the sentence on the other side of this break, please. We'll come back to that, and we'll also then come back and talk about the repercussions of this for the country at large, your personal plight, but what that means to people listening. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Two days on the job, General Michael Flynn abruptly stepped down from his top national security post. In his resignation letter, Flynn blamed the fast pace of events during the presidential transition for causing him to, quote, inadvertently leave out key details of phone calls with the Russian ambassador prior to inauguration. Flynn had claimed that the two did not discuss sanctions, a potential violation of U.S. law. Yet evidence surfaced Monday that the Justice Department had warned the White House last month that Flynn had deceived them about his contacts with Russia. However, Flynn was allowed to continue advising President Trump on sensitive national security matters.
As of today, we are officially putting Iran on notice.
Early yesterday, the White House was sending mixed signals about whether his job was in jeopardy. Counselor Kellyanne Conway.
Yes, General Flynn does enjoy the full confidence of the president.
An hour later, Press Secretary Sean Spicer released a contradictory statement. Quote, the president is evaluating the situation. But it was Vice President Mike Pence's anger at Flynn's deception that convinced Mr. Trump to re-examine his role.
They did not discuss anything.
Pence had repeated Flynn's misleading account in a January interview with CBS.
All right, that's kind of the way it sounded to us when Michael Flynn was released, and we're all scratching our head saying, what happened? He's such a hero. It was wonderful. He was the head of the National Security Committee, the White House National Security Committee. And so suddenly he's gone like that. But now we know, looking back on that report, let me just say, number one, the phone call was recorded illegally. It was a phone call that he rightfully should make to the Russian ambassador. And the transcript of that was used to set him up in a later interview with the FBI, in which they tried to trap and entrap him. And they caught him off guard. He didn't have an attorney. And that's the conversation during which, by the way, the FBI agents there said to Comey they didn't think he had lied. But later, somehow, they decided he had lied in that interaction. And then we also know that it was Sally Yates of the Justice Department, who was a very much part of this deep state, who created this narrative that somehow Michael Flynn had broken some couple-hundred-year-old law that had never been enforced, where private citizens were not supposed to discuss international policy with foreign governments. But Michael Flynn was the incoming national security advisor. He had every right to talk. So the whole thing was twisted and perverse, and now we know more about that. But that was like a shot across the bow of what the deep state was going to do to people like Michael Flynn. And one of them is Adam Lovinger, who was then picked by Michael Flynn to be the director of the National Security Council at the White House. And he's in the middle of telling the story of how he is now at this point where they have so targeted him that he has been put in a side office in the Pentagon after more than a dozen years of serving faithfully there, lost his security clearance. And just last week, after his attorney wrote an article about this in the Wall Street Journal, he's lost his salary. and his benefits. And he has a family of three. This is how serious this is getting. All right, so Adam, let me go back to you, because you were telling us that James Baker, who's an Obama holdover, had this animus against you because of your ferreting out what was happening with this this sham committee that was giving out dollars and covering things it should not have been covering. You were kind of like a whistleblower. So he's the one who, it seems, may have started this action to punish you and to get you out of the National Security Council. And then you were just telling us about Barbara Westgate, who you said was brought out of retirement. Please pick it up there if you would.
Yes. So what's very clear, Sandy, is once James Baker used his subordinates, genuinely people who depend upon him for their performance evaluations, to target me, to conduct what they termed independent investigations, which violated numerous laws because they were about as far as non-independent as possible, including, as I mentioned, Baker nominating the military officers for prestigious medals during the course of the investigations in order to incentivize them to reach certain conclusions that he wanted. What Baker did is then he went to Barbara Westgate, the director of WHS, with these rigged investigation reports, which I, by the way, have never seen.
And you're supposed to see them by law, right? You're supposed to know within 30 days.
Indeed. And what has happened is that it's been over a year, Sandy, since these investigations were complete. I still have not seen them. But all the actions that have been taken against me are based upon the lies that are within those reports. And we know they're lies because that has trickled out to us. For example, as I mentioned, I was actually accused of not cooperating with these investigations, whereas the investigators themselves in emails thanked me for cooperating. So they're high school level, hack jobs. But these have real consequences. They've been hidden. We have put in FOIA requests. There's been an arbitrary and capricious withholding of FOIA. That's also a violation of the law. So the lawlessness within the bureaucracy under Barbara Westgate, the director of WHS, in collusion with James Baker, the director of the Office of Net Assessment, it just one thing builds upon the next. It really is out of a Kafka novel. It's, genuinely, something of a police state. There's no accountability.
If you had to guess, I guess there's not a way to quantify this, but how many people are we talking about that might have been targeted in a similar way to you, if you had to just guess, ballpark?
I think it's rampant. I have been privileged, as of my lawyer, to have the support of Judicial Watch, which is genuinely a marvelous organization, really dedicated to exposing and, with the philosophy that sunlight is the ultimate disinfectant, exposing the abuses of the bureaucracy. I was, given a number the other day that of the 45 Schedule Cs, which are the political appointees that the Trump administration bought to the State Department, that only five of those remain. This was a number given in passing to me, but it doesn't surprise me, Sandy. I of the colleagues at the National Security Council who came over with me, in the first wave on January 20th of 2017. Those who really supported the president, who really saw the president as opening up the aperture to address strategic threats to America that had been neglected for decades, who really wanted to professionalize national security strategy making and execution from the White House, those of us who believed this, who were committed to this, we've all been taken out, taken out by those hostile to the president. Who do not want to see him succeed. In my case, is a very unusual case, Sandy, because I have all the evidence of misconduct by the other side. This is rather rare, but I genuinely have the notes and the emails of my accusers, building a case based on lies, retroactively, writing memos. This happened 2 years ago that Adam Lovinger did. We'll need to then, take that and use this as the basis to target his clearance. I have this evidence, and it's truly extraordinary that senior officials, and James Baker is a direct report to the Secretary of Defense, that he's allowed to get away with this. He's the one with his security clearance still intact. I'm the one who is completely sidelined and not able to support my family.
You know, Adam, I have to say, because I've heard you speak before, I can say this on your behalf, that you have made it clear to some of us that you don't want this to be about you. You're happy to fight about this, but fight, and you're fighting it very smartly with your attorney and, as you said, Judicial Watch. But you are concerned about the country. What does that mean to this country?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
Yeah, so genuinely, Sandy, I was a lawyer in private practice making plenty of money when I decided to leave that and join the George W. Bush Pentagon. Really, this is what I mean. Money is certainly not something that interests me so much, even though, you know, I do need to pay the bills. But America, I really want this to be a better country for my children and for future generations. And what I've seen, Sandy, my interpretation, is that what's happened is that in 1883, we had the Pendleton Act that was passed. And this is something that professionalized the civil service. This is an act of Congress that sought to move away from the spoil system of the past and put in place an objective, professional civil service that would do its job. In these 100 years plus since the Pendleton Act, what we've seen, I believe, Sandy, is the power has shifted so far away from the elected officials to the civil service that the civil service acts with impunity. I have spoken with U.S. congressmen who throw up their arms in despair about how their requests are ignored, how the civil service is not accountable, how the civil service can abuse the administrative state, the laws, the regulations, to promote partisan, political, personal vendettas against those they don't like, those who threaten their rice bowl, those like myself who say, don't use contractors like Steph Halper to do improper things, and then I'm retaliated against, and then he goes along to spy for the president, you know, most likely funded by the Office of Net Assessment. After all, money is fungible. The hundreds of thousands of dollars Net Assessment paid to Steph Halper, that is an extremely fishy situation. The amount of work he did was negligible. Others get paid much less, do much more. So this is what happens, Sandy. And I just think that my case is emblematic. It's not about me. Is emblematic of a pathology of unaccountability in the civil service.
All right, so we only have a couple of minutes left. Is there reason for optimism? John Bolton now is at the White House, is heading the National Security Council in the White House. That encouraged me. Do you expect there to be some changes?
Absolutely. I am really quite ecstatic about Bolton being in that position. He's going to face an extremely difficult challenge. But I do believe that Bolton understands the importance of personnel. I do believe he understands that policy is personnel and that he needs to be careful. I've studied the National Security Council, Sandy, and how to execute strategy well from the NSC for years. And one of the greatest problems to anyone who is a bold thinker and really does want to change the direction of America is leaking. Leaking, because strategy is about big things, it's threatening.
30 seconds.
It promises tectonic change. And so those who don't like it can leak. And so I think that Bolton recognizes that and that he'll do a good job with that. But it's my goal to get back and help him.
Yes, and we want you to get back and help him. And Adam, let me just say, on a personal level, I'm going to ask, I promise to, and I'm asking my audience to pray for you and your family. And we thank God for your strength and your courage and your patriotism. You're an example to all of us. We're in this together, you know. It is our big American family that we're fighting to preserve. And we need men like you. And the fact that you have the resource to fight back and maybe expose some of the nefariousness is a something to be grateful for, yet another thing to be grateful for. So I never thought, you probably would agree with me, I never thought, honestly, that the deep state or the left that I've watched victorious time and time again in destroying people over a few decades here would ever be set back on their heels. But it seems to me right now they are. Would you agree?
I agree. And I think that they've weaponized their power in the same way so many times, Sandy, that I think we know what their playbook is. And now that we know their playbook, our job is to craft strategy to make them accountable.
Absolutely.
And we can do that.
All right, Adam. We look forward to hearing your name again, Adam Lovinger, because we're going to hear it in a really good way. We're praying for a good outcome. I think General Flynn is going to be vindicated, and we pray that you will be as well, publicly and in the right way. God bless you and your family, and thank you for joining me today. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.